This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
InshaAllah, let us begin our class with the morning dua. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa ilayka an-nushur. Bismillahillazi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul alim. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami dina wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya. Allahumma zidni ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutaqabbala. Ya muqallibal qulub thabbit qulubana ala dinik wa ala ta'atik. Allahumma akhtim lana bihusnil qatimah. Allahumma aqilna jannatak wa ajirna minan nar. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Walhamdulillah bil alamin. Amin ya rabbil alamin. Without forgetting our jama'ah, Dr. Maqbool, he is not well. He's been hospitalized a few days ago. And we are one of our good jama'ah who always attend our Sunday classes with the wife. So we hope we'll pray for him, that Allah give him a fast recovery. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make it easy for him. Important when we are not well is that we must learn how to attain redha. Redha means we learn how to accept the qadar. Then we follow up with treatment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the right treatment. That is the important thing. The treatment is always there. Whether that treatment goes well with us or not, that is the difference. But inshallah, we ask Allah to make it easy for Dr. Maqbool so that he will be back with all of us again soon, inshallah. Yeah. To all the sisters and the brother who are here today, we know this will be an end. So it's very important for me to share with you about how to prepare ourselves for the Eid, the big day. Yeah. When Ramadan end, Allah Rabbul Alamin said in the Quran, wali tu'milul iddata wali tuqabbirullah ala ma hadakum wala allakum tashkurun. If you look in Surah Al-Baqarah, verses after Allah talk about Ramadan fasting, and then Allah end with when the fasting days end, wali tu'milul iddata, fasting days will end, the maximum 30 days fasting or 29 days. Then Allah command all who fast, who believe in Allah, to celebrate it by saying takbir, wali tuqabbir Allah. Meaning the way we celebrate our Eid is not like other people. We have our own values. We don't use firecrackers. We don't use all other means except takbir. We know it's been a tradition for a while that all Muslim, not only Muslim, Malaysian, is very confused about celebration. When there's any celebration, firecrackers seem to come along. It's like firecrackers is part of the festival. Where for the Chinese, yes, that's how they celebrate. Indian normally have their own way. The Christian may have their own way. The Muslim also should have their own way. Allah said, "Lakum dinukum waliyadin." We should be proud with our own way. We have our own value, so that we don't confuse others. Yeah? For people who do not know, then they become very confused. You know? Allah have make it very clear, "Lakum dinukum waliyadin." We have our own way, and they have their own ways. You see, they don't use takbir, because that is not their way. They use firecrackers. We use takbir plus crackers. That is the difference. No, it's not that we are not going to say that we are against certain culture, because it's against Allah's command. Allah said, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْإِدَّةَ وَلِتُقَبِّرُ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَا حَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That is how we show our gratefulness, our thanks to Allah. After we have completed Ramadan, we come up from Ramadan with takbir and our sign of gratefulness. Oh Allah, we've been blessed with Ramadan, so that we are preparing ourselves to face the 11th month to come. I have a special class for children last Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. just to remind the children about this adab, not to buy firecrackers, not to use that anymore, firework, nothing. We don't play with fire, we play with takbir. But normally children do not really know how to buy. It's the parent who will buy for them. So parents must also understand what you can and what you can't do for your children. It may cause harm to them, and the Prophet has said, "La darara wa la dirar." Don't do anything that cause harm to yourself and cause harm to others. Sound pollution, and it can explode something, it can hurt the player. And in the same time, the Prophet also said, "Min husnil Islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." Yeah, we have shared these few hadiths with a lot of sisters. We hope you remember. A good Muslim is a Muslim who stay away from things that do not benefit them. They have nothing to do with this kind of celebration. Yeah? We have to start to make changes, because our children is growing. So they will pick up a lot of things along the way. So we must guide them. Yeah? We must guide them. Alhamdulillah, some of the children, when I was asking them, they say, okay. We hope that their okay is okay. Yeah? And not only in front of me, okay. After that, they forget. And then they ask from their mother, their daddy, their grandparent, they want this, they want that. Even the government, I think, have banned all this kind of thing. Yeah? But it's still in the market. Yeah? The problem is not only the buyer, it's the seller. By right, a Muslim should not get involved in that kind of business. Any business that is going to contradict our value, it endanger other, we should not participate. Yeah? But we are very confused today. We thought what is haram, the only thing that the Muslim don't engage in directly is selling pork. Alhamdulillah, until today we are very allergic with that. Yeah? Other than that, everything goes. So may Allah guide us. And Allah Rabbul Alameen also remind all the sisters and the brother to make sure that, and the children, if possible, wake them up early in the morning to pray Fajr, because there's no sahur anymore. Eat day, no more sahur. Just have a quick breakfast after Fajr. Take a bath, Hadas basar. That means not just ablution, take a religious bath, hadas basar, and get prepared for your Eid prayer. Even you are not able to perform your prayer because you have your menses and so on, but the Prophet encouraged the woman to participate, to listen to the khutbah. Listening to the khutbah of Eid is more important than listening to the khutbah of Jumaat. Jumaat, the woman don't have to go to the mosque at all. But For each prayer, the Prophet ﷺ commanded the men to bring their wife along. But in the time of the Prophet, they have no problem going to the eight prayer, is because the eight prayer is always conduct an open area, at the open area, not in the mosque. Even the mosque of the Prophet is closed. But when it comes, the Prophet will move out to an open area, open ground, and perform the prayer, the eight prayer. Why? Because the women who are not able to pray, they can wait until the khutbah start, and they can listen to the khutbah. Now, the takbir of Eid will start when it's confirmed that tomorrow is Eid. When it's confirmed tomorrow is takbir will start. The takbir will start until prayer time. When prayer comes in, when the imam stand up, then takbir end. The difference between takbir Eid for Eid al-Fitri and Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Adha have 3 days to takbir. Eid al-Adha is a bigger Eid for the Muslim, but it's very small to us here because we are not in Makkah. But normally Eid al-Adha, 3 days takbirat. All the time we say is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You can say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. This is the takbir that the Prophet taught us, and it's good for us to do this takbir while we are cleaning up, while you are cooking, while you are resting. Just takbir. The mother takbir, the father takbir, husband takbir, wife takbir, children takbir, grandchildren takbir. Just you decorate that night with takbir. But what happened to most of our culture is they were on the TV again. TV is going to come back. One Ramadan end, all this program is coming back. And then there's a lot of takbir through the TV. So they on the TV, let the TV takbir, but they don't make takbir. No. We every Muslim, according to the Quran, وَلِتُقَبِّرَ اللَّهِ. Those who are fasting should takbir. Television don't have to takbir, Television never fast, It's always there. So those who are fasting, they do the takbir. In the time of the Prophet, the takbir will carry on from the morning when they are leaving their home to the playing ground. They will walk and they will do takbir. They don't only reach the mosque and then gather together, start takbir like what we are used to do. No. While you are moving, you are driving, whether you are driving a car, bike, maybe in a bus, lorry, in certain countries, they will go to the praying area with lorries. And then everybody with takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. I hope we try to do this time, inshallah. We are not used to it sometime, but we just have to do. Inside our house, we can raise up your voice, no problem. Only when you are outside, you minimize your volume, inshallah, for the sister. But you can still say takbir. You can still state takbir. Now, the addition of the takbir, sadaqa wa'da wa nasra abda wa hazama ahzaba wa'da, that was not taught by a prophet for eight takbir. That kind of takbir, when you see the Muslim just coming back from the battlefield, and then that is the addition. The normal takbir is just Allahu Akbar, twice or three times. Then La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Anybody call you, or anybody send messages, send takbir messages. And they call you, Assalamualaikum, Waalaikum Salam, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Remind everybody, it's good. We have to revive this takbir back again, because we are not used to it, especially the sisters. And also about your Eid prayer, don't forget to participate. Don't forget to participate. If you can, if you are praying together, alhamdulillah. If not, if you can sit in a car from the direction or area that you can listen to the khutbah. When the khutbah is on, please pay attention. Please pay attention. Normally, women hardly participate in Jumat prayer. So when they have the Eid prayer, when the Imam gives khutbah, there's a lot of talking. Because they are so used. And when they meet up, they will talk and they talk. No, you are not supposed to talk yet. Listen to the khutbah. The prayer for Eid prayer start before the khutbah. Jumaat, khutbah start, and then they pray Jumaat. Just the opposite for Jumaat and for the Eid prayer. And also the last thing that I'd like to remind about the Eid prayer, it is not a day for you to go and visit the graveyard. That is not what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. The Prophet encouraged us to take a light breakfast before you go out for the Eid prayer. And also the Prophet said, if you are given the opportunity that there are many roads for you to take. So, example, you're coming into our markas here from the main road. Then, when you're leaving, you can go from another road. From the back road, or you go out here on the left and turn right, you hit the Shell station. That means they encourage you to take different roads. If it's easy for you, if not, then you can use the same route in and out, inshallah. The reason the Prophet encouraged you to do that, because you may meet some Muslim along the way. So when you see them, of course, the takbir have end. After Eid prayer, no more takbir. So you will say, Assalamu alaikum, wish them. The best wishes is, Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. There's no, our culture, Selamat Raya, Maaf Zahir Batin. But the Prophet, companions, not the Prophet, the companion used to say among themselves, Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. May Allah accept whatever we have done in the month of Ramadan until the Eid day. And also may Allah accept theirs and accept our prayer and our deeds, inshallah. Now these are the good prayer. Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. Easy. You say, selamat raya, no value. Because there's no prayer in it. You say, taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. There is a prayer involved. Asking Allah, hoping Allah accept our fast, our qiyam, our laylat qadar, our zakat, our fitrah, everything that we have done in the month of Ramadan. Also, it's good for us to make sure that, I think our children wouldn't experience that, but kampung kids, normally they'll gather around and then they're going house to house already. We have two problems. The children go house to house on the 8th day. Adult go house to house at the Raya night to make takbir. They'll go to house to house. So, Assalamualaikum, they're here to do takbir and get some green pao and so on. The Chinese give the ang pao, the Muslim give the green pao, the green packet. They are picking up like the Christian, and also the Chinese also have their culture, but they will come with what? Chinese will come with what? With the lion dance. So you must hang something and the crackers, so they will come and their lion can only eat ang pao only. Their lion don't eat people, eat ang pao. Now that is their way. We have our own way. So we should be proud with our own value. Children who come here, normally they'll come because we are in a kampung area. But alhamdulillah, when they come, we open the door, we say, okay, you want to come in and have food? No, they don't want to have food. You want to have drink? No, they want to have drink. So what do you want from us? They just want money. So what we do is, okay, since you want money, we prepare some money for them too, but they have to go through a test. So we ask them to recite Fatiha, we ask them to recite Tahiyat, we ask them to recite three surah, because they say they have been praying. You see, that's so good. So the first group, some of them will argue with them, oh, he there will learn. No, I went to the class, but I say, okay, but you are praying, you are Muslim, you pray, you recite. If you can't, there's no money for you. You pass, I give you. Then on the way out, another gang is on the way in, they will tell them, they will interview you. They will interview you. So suddenly they make a reverse gear. Alhamdulillah. No, sometimes you don't blame them. It becomes a tradition, you know. But it's very bad. Eid day is not a day for you to go out and ask money. That's why the zakat fitrah must be given before the prayer. To make sure that there's no more begging. No more beggar at that time. After Eid prayer, only you give the money, is no more a fitrah. It's a sadaqah. But you see what's happening around the mosque today. Eid prayer, a lot of poor people come near the entrance and then line up and asking. By right, if you want to give, no problem, give it then before the prayer. Make sure that after the prayer, they are no more there. But again, because it's a tradition, it's a culture for them to keep on begging, they'll be there. Say, that's wrong. That's not right. It's a happy day. How can you let them beg again? It's a happy day. Today is what day? Wednesday, I forgot the days. Monday we went to the Rohingya center. Look at all the children. They're very good-looking children. But a lot of their adults, they've been here for years. They don't even pick up the local language. So you cannot integrate them. So I inform them what they should do as a community. Help each other. Your children, don't bring them along and keep on begging with the children. It's not good. You are training the children to be a beggar. It's very bad. Let them learn about the religion. Let them learn the language. Look at their face. They may have a future for them. They can be doctor, engineer, professional people. One day we hope they will go back to their country and bring changes, like our Prophet migrate from Mecca because the pressure is too great. But later on, they went home. And they went home with Islam. So nothing is impossible. But you must give them a future. Help them. Not like what they are doing today. They are not helping. And I told them, you have to free your children from all this shirik. The talisman, the tangkai mangkai. And it so happened the children was there. You see, this is what I mean. I asked for the scissors. I cut it off. This is thing that will destroy your iman. Don't underestimate this little method, this talisman, the tangkal. Tangkal can destroy, it commit shirik. Shirik will destroy all your deeds. But now the children is not to be blamed. They do not know what is that. You as father, as mother. Normally the mother say, oh, this was given by their ustaz. I said, if who are teaching the children to wear this, you know. You are lying to them, you are cheating them. It's haram business and you charge them. These are things that we have to remind each other. So we try our best this year so there's no more firecrackers. If those who have bought it earlier, just destroy it. Don't worry. What can we do? Bought already, just go and destroy it. Don't show it to them and then start to put firecrackers, fireworks, no more. Let our neighbor feel the peace. Wow, there's a difference this year, no? We are waiting for them to burn something. Nothing, silent. Only we hear, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi la. That's all. The best word. We get reward from Allah to do all this takbirat. Then after that is good. In the Middle East, after Raya, everybody will go home. They lock their door. Khalas, sleep. No more visiting. No more open house. All their house is locked. Because they have been very active in the month of Ramadan the last 10 nights. They hardly sleep at night. So after Raya, time for them to make the qada, for their sleeping qada. We have a different culture. If you go there, suddenly after Raya, you want to visit friends. Nobody is opening their house for you. People are sleeping. Here is a important day. No problem. You can eat. I'm not saying that you can eat. It's an eat day. So you can eat, inshallah. But don't waste again. Don't waste. This is a few things that I like to alert the jama'ah. Now, I hope we still remember how to pray this eight prayer. Eight prayer is just two rak'ah. even if it's a day prayer, their recitation would be allowed. It's like Jumaat. Jumaat recitation is allowed. Zohar is silent, but Jumaat is allowed. They recite Fatiha, Surah allowed, like Subuh prayer. In the same time, for the Eid prayer, the first rak'at, you have 7 takbirat. Remember, 7 takbirat. 7 takbirat meaning you said Allahu Akbar, count as one. That is takbiratul ihram. Yeah? You count as one. Then you recite dua iftitah. After that, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Plus the takbiratul ihram is 7. Then the imam will start to recite Fatiha and Surah. We just listen because they recite aloud. Then they make the 8 takbirat. That is called takbirat, takbir intiqal. Remember this term, takbir intiqal. Takbir ihram is takbir to come into the prayer. Takbir intiqal is takbir, they say, moving from one position to the next position. You're going down for ruku. There is takbir intiqal. So you don't count that as one of the 7. Then they will do the normal prayer, the raka'at, bowing, iktidar, sujud. Now they are coming up from the first raka'at to the second raka'at. Now coming up also you are saying Allahu Akbar coming up. That you do not count as one of the takbir. That is takbir intiqal. From sujud to standing up. When you stand up, then the imam will state 5 more takbirat. Allahu Akbar 1, Allahu Akbar 2, Allahu Akbar 3, Allahu Akbar 4, Allahu Akbar 5. Then the imam will recite Fatiha. We just listen and then, now, should we, or is it a must for you to raise up 2 of your hands while doing each takbir? No. The one that is, you must, according to the sunnah of the Prophet, raise up your hand, the first one. Allahu Akbar. After that, you can even do without raising the hand. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Without raising up the hand. But a lot of people will raise up their hand. Even raising the hand is not an issue, but highly recommended. Most of the time, the Prophet don't raise up his hand. But if a person is raising up hand, don't worry. The person who don't raise up their hand, also you don't you get confused because that is one of the sunnah of the Prophet. Inshallah. Yeah. And there's no recitation in between. Yeah. Some people will say, you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wala. No, there's no recitation. The Prophet. According to the Prophet's way, there's no recitation. Inshallah, I hope we are ready for that. Let's go back to our book, page 75. Yeah, today, page 75. The last topic that we are discussing about, yeah, about plague, a kind of virus. Now let us go back to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu an. Aisha reported that she personally asked Allah's Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about plague, and he, the Prophet, told her. The meaning, it is a form of punishment with which Allah used to afflict whomever He will. This kind of ta'un sometimes is part of Allah's qadar. When Allah wants to punish certain group of people, He may do it in that form. the punishment of Allah can come in the form of a virus, a plague. Then Allah make it a mercy for the believers. For the believer, فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ رَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. For the believers, everything is beneficial. It strengthens their iman. They're getting closer to Allah. They remember Allah more. Yeah? They are not going to complain. A believer, normally, they don't complain. They will say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Then they'll go for treatment. Now they remember Allah more. Now they are asking Allah more because they're making dua. Because they need Allah's help. For the believer, everything that happened to us, it brings benefit, inshallah. Thus, whoever is in a land where the plague strike and remain in his town patiently, knowing that nothing will happen to him except as Allah has ordained or decreed, then he will be granted a reward similar to that of a shahid. Now the Prophet is telling us the adab. If you are hit with certain virus, you are not supposed to move out from that area. Meaning, you quarantine yourself. You quarantine yourself. Even you have to die while you're doing that. Your patient, in staying away from, or you do not bring that virus outside, Allah will reward you with the reward of a shahid. A good sign. But if you are running away, that means this shahid is not for you. The shahid is only for those who have hit by this virus, and then they stay on until they are clean, until they are okay, then they can move out. Because you are not supposed to cause harm to others. And that's why there are certain time when there is certain virus in Africa, you see there's a lot of checkpoint. Those who want to come home from that part of the country, they have to go through some screening. Because one, if you affect the place, you know virus spread very, very fast. So Islam is here to prevent. Prevention is always better than cure. If you have to die while you are quarantining yourself, it's a shahid for you, inshallah. Utbah bin Abdullah al-Sulami and also Al-Irbat bin Sariyah, they are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, said the Prophet Muhammad said, Ya'ti shuhada wal mutawaffun bitta'un ila akhir hadith. On judgment day, the shuhada, those who die as shahid, and those who die from plague will come forward. When Allah will summon them, they will come forward. The latter will say, we are shahid. It is then said, look at their wound. If they are similar to those of the mataya or the shuhada, issuing blood that smell like mucus or musk, and they are shahid. And they are indeed found to be like that. Those who are killed in the battlefield, of course, they got wound here and there. In the day of their judgment, their wound will come out with fragrance. It smells very, very good. The same goes to those who die because of plague, of this kind of viruses. If they have sign, wound, and so on, Allah will purify whatever they have gone through. Even though smell here is bad, it don't smell good, but in the eye of Allah, Allah will change the condition and make their blood smell like a must. Just like what the Prophet said about fasting. The Prophet said, Allah said, the smell of those who fast, their mouth smell like must, in the sight of Allah. To us, it don't smell good. When you are fasting, you cannot talk too long, close up, because it do have certain smell. But in the sight of Allah, we all smell like the smell of the fragrance of a misk. Abdominal illnesses. Abdullah bin Yasser reported that he was sitting with Sulaiman bin Sar and Khalid bin Arfata when they mentioned a man who died from abdominal illness, stomach pain. Both of them expressed a wish to attend his funeral, and one of them said to the other, did Allah's messenger not say that man yaqtulhu bi Ya batnuhul falan yu'azzaba fi qabri. He who is killed by a disease in his abdomen will not be tortured in his grave. You will be saved from the torment of the grave. These are good signs. Yeah? People who die as shaheed, they will be saved from the punishment of the grave. Yeah? Allah will protect them. And that's why we always ask Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabi jahannam wa min azabin qabri wa min azabi qabri wa min fitnatil mahya wal mamat wa min fitnatil masihid dajjal. There is punishment in the grave. And we know there are the two reasons you'll be punished in the grave. Yeah? Number one, when you like to gossip and talk bad about your fellow Muslim. Backbiting, gossiping, fitna, Allah will punish you from the grave before the day of judgment. Yeah? It's an early punishment to show us how bad gossiping, backbiting is. Number one. Number two is when you do not clean yourself properly after the call of nature, especially the men, they will be punished from the grave. Yeah? Since the grave time, they will be punished. So we hope that it's not easy for us as mother even to teach our young boys, because they are shy. Yeah? Nature now, even my grandson sometimes come to me when I want to, he want to go to the toilet. He say, okay, Akon can stay outside. I will do myself. And then after finish, if they need help, they will call. They don't like, they have the kind of shyness. It's good for our children to have this shyness when they are young. But we hope that we know how to guide them, how to wash themselves properly. Normally children won't know until we teach them. And I've seen a lot of men until today, the grown-up men, they don't really clean themselves properly. Especially when they go for the call of nature without going into the the toilet. The standing one is very difficult. It's very difficult to clean yourself. You may clean and then the water with the najis, it will bounce back and hit their trousers, and then their trousers is not clean. For the woman, it's easy. You will sit. Highly recommend us to sit down and do what you have to do. That is the best way to keep yourself clean, inshallah. Now, who is killed by the disease in his abdomen, whether it's stomach ache or any kind of thing, confirmed because of the stomach, will not be tortured in his or her grave. The other man replied, yes, indeed he have heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Pleurisy, Uqba bin Amir reported that Allah's Messenger said, he who died from pleurisy is a shaheed. There are so many signs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have shown us about those who die as shaheed. So we don't have to worry. Now, dying of pleurisy also including what? It's more any diseases of the chest and also pneumonia. Defending one's property. This is the area that is not easy. Abdullah bin Amr reported that Allah's Messenger said, "Man uridu maluhu bighayri haqqin faqatil, faqutil fahuwa shahid." If one's property is endangered, people want to rob you, people want to steal money from you without right. That means they have no right to do that. This is yours. Certain country is very weird. Certain country, the robber will come to you and ask for your money. Even you give them the money, they shoot you. They just love to shoot. That means they don't really come and rob you only. They just want to kill you. But certain country, alhamdulillah, the robber say, life or money or life. You say money, okay. He kill you and he take your money and take your life. You say, okay, I want my life. Give me your money. You give them your money, they leave you in peace. But if you fight back, this is what the Prophet is trying to tell you. If you fight back to defend your property and they kill you, you die as a shaheed. But normally it's, you use your wisdom to see how well you can fight back. If there are a lot of people and then you are alone, you know that it's not worth fighting. But if you think that you are ready, you have the right to do that. It's not easy, especially for sisters. They will do more than that sometimes to us. And if you protect your honor, also you die as a shaheed. Now, Abu Hurairah reported that a man asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What should I do if a man came to snatch my money?" He replied, "Do not give it to him." He asked, "What if he fought me?" He replied, "Fight him back." He asked, "What if he killed me?" He replied, "Fa'anta shahid." You will then be a shahid. "What if I kill him?" He read, "He'll be in the hellfire." If you kill him, there's no shahid for him. So a person who wants to die shahid, he cannot go and rob people and say, "If they kill me, I got shahid." No. Now this is what happened, but it's not easy. We know that. That's why Islam are very straight about hudud, this hudud. If they dare to come openly and snatch your wallet and so on, this is the real thief that you must treat them properly and show no mercy, because they don't show mercy to you. They don't care. We only show mercy for people who have some mercy. For people who come and rob, especially in the house, it's too bad. Today you see the security is not that good compared before. Before people do help each other, today people just can't help. People just stay away. Middle East until today, because the hudud was applied, until today, anybody scream, especially woman, khalas, the troublemaker will not get out anymore. They cannot get out. Here in Malaysia, we have the law. Alhamdulillah, in Malaysia, we have a good law that they do not allow the public to own a gun. That is good. The only thing is other weapon, knife, parang, all these things is not easy for you to control. But in other country, people are travel with guns, machine guns sometimes. But what is important, brother and sister, you use your wisdom at the time. Should you fight back? If you think you're ready, you fight. If you think you're not ready, do whatever you can. Whatever happened to you, remember, you will not be blamed. There is no sin upon you. There are people, sometimes to women, they just take your money and also they take your honor, your dignity. So this is something that we ask Allah to protect us and protect our daughters from being a victim. Mukhariq radiallahu anhu reported that a man asked the Prophet, "What should I do if a man came to take my money?" He replied, "Remind him of Allah, if possible." He asked, "What if he did not remember?" He replied, "Seek help from the Muslim around you against him. You shout for help." He asked, "If there were no Muslim around me?" He replied, "Seek help from the authority." No authority was not accessible and he was too close on me. Then he replied, "Fight then for your money. You will either be among the shahid in the hereafter or safeguard your money." So you have a choice. Islam is here to give you your right, that you have the right to your money. Nobody has the right to come and take it away from you. Today we have another scenario. You have the Along kind of problem. When you take money from Along, Along has give you a kind of contract. You pay me 1 month or 6 months, but if there's any delay, then they will double up the interest. But you have signed, the problem you have signed, the agreement with them. Actually, what Along is doing from one point of view, it is very Islamic. If without the loan, without the interest, it's very Islamic. They give it to you when you need your help, without a lot of document, It's just word to word, you know. But then you try to run away. You know, you borrow their money, they help you, yeah, when you need their help. Suddenly you try to lie, to cheat to them, run away. Of course they come after you. Because they have the right to take back their money, not with the interest, only their money. They have the right to come and take it. If you don't have cash, whatever thing that have value, they have the right to take it. Because you owe them. It's not your money, it's their money. But only thing that is wrong is because their interest is very high. And that's where the riba come in. Yeah? If without the interest. But the Prophet always encouraged a good Muslim, if you know that the person who are borrowing money from you are good people, so happen that they have bad time, you help them, and they are good paymaster. They pay back. If they say, give you 2 months, you can give them 4 months. No problem. That is good. You make it easy for them. But if they are trying to lie to you, running away, that is too bad. Yeah. But you have the right to come after them. You have the right. Yeah. If you dare not go after them, you can have the right to hire somebody to go after them. Now, Islamically, you have the right to take it back in what that belongs to you. Yeah. But if you can forgive them, of course. But you forgive the people who deserve to be forgiven, because they really don't have the means. But if this is a kind of bad habit, they keep on moving from one person to another person, borrowing here and there, this is not something that you should just let it go like that. You should warn other people now. You have all the right, yeah, to all the brothers and sisters who are involved in helping others. They said, I want to borrow some money, I'll pay you back 1 month. 1 year disappeared. Yeah? They don't even have the courtesy to give you a call, say, please, excuse me, I'm having a bad time, can you delay? We don't mind. But when they have the habit of borrowing from one to another, you as the first borrower must alert your other friend. When you know that he is approaching them or she is approaching the other group, you must alert them so that the second person will not become the second victim. You have to protect the right of other brothers and sisters. If not, then you are not doing your duty as a Muslim. Ad-dinu nasiha. You are not backbiting him, no. You are alerting that this brother, anything okay but money, please. But if he want to give, it's up to him. You have warned him already. This is very important. Yeah? I know sometimes, you know, we all mean well, but we must organize ourselves so that people don't play around. So the way we do things over here also, that's how we do it. Anybody approach, don't respond directly. Because you do not know how many people they are approaching. We have good intention. What the right hand gives, left hand knows not. We don't want to tell. Good intention. But they also have their intention. They go one by one. So now when we caught them right-handed, then we say, you see, this is what we don't like you to do. Because you are not being honest to us. You go to this guy, you say nobody help you. You go to that guy, you say nobody help you. So now everybody is helping you. And still you say nobody help you. Yeah? You want sympathy from them. Yeah? Yeah. There are people who have been doing that. And when the real time comes, they ask for help. Say, we can't help you because nobody help you. Everywhere you go, nobody help you. So why must we help you? And we know that there are so many people who has been helping you. So that's why when we do good things, brothers and sisters, make sure that we do it collectively to safeguard, yeah, our right, and also we don't allow people to take us for a right and lie and cheat us. Yeah? And let us go back to this guarding in Allah's way. This is not those who only fight in the battlefield. Salman reported that Allah's messenger said, Ribat yawmu wa layl. Khairu min siyam shahr wa qiyam. Allahu Akbar. Standing guard, this is like what? This is as a security guard. Yeah. On the battleground for 1 day and night is better than fasting the day and praying the night of an entire month. Can you imagine just be a guard, but for the right reason? Normally, when jihad time, the fighters, the soldier will get tired, they need rest. But you cannot let everybody rest. You must have somebody who is on guard. They are not going to sleep when the other are sleeping. Yeah, to stand on guard to make sure that the enemy will not come and attack us. Now this guard, just by standing awake one day and night, is better than fasting the days and praying the nights of the entire month of Ramadan. Great reward just by staying awake for one night. It's just like our guard here, you know. But our guard don't pray sometimes. You know? They have to pray, of course, but they'll stay awake when we are all sleeping. So those who are guarding us, if their intention is for the sake of Allah to protect our right, our property, mashallah, they get reward from Allah Rabbul Alamin. That's why the intention is very important. And if he or the guard dies, his good deed that he used to do continue to accumulate for him until the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. He is provided with provision from Jannah and he is safe from the integrator angel in the grave. He will be safe from the question and answer from the grave. MashaAllah. So don't underestimate the work of a security guard if his intention is clear. Yeah? Sometimes Allah is so just and so kind. Yeah? Just by staying awake at night, not doing anything, to guard the safety of the soldiers, the safety of the Muslim, wherever they are, Allah reward them. Yeah? As a shaheed. Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. Fudala bin Ubaid reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu mayitin yukhtimu ala amal." Every person did a sealed when he dies. We know that, yeah? When we die, everything is stopped. Everything stopped, yeah? Except for the one who died while guiding in Allah's way, his good deeds continue to be accumulated for him until resurrection day and he is secured from the grave trial. Allahu Akbar. Yeah? The other general hadith, the Prophet said, "Iza mata ibn Adam in qata amalhu," when the children of Adam die, everything is cut off, stopped. Except three things that still can benefit us. Number one is sadaqatin jariyah. Anything that you give a waqaf, that people are making use of the waqaf to do good deeds, you will get the reward continuously, inshallah. But you must make sure that you give to the right waqaf, people make use for the right cause. If not, then it's a waste. It's really a waste. Yeah? So you must do what you can do, brothers and sisters. If Allah has given you extra this, extra that, extra land, extra property, if you can walk off any of them for the right cause, you will still get reward from Allah after you are no more here. Yeah? Because whatever you left behind is been used, yeah, for a good cause. Number two, the Prophet said, is ilmun yunta for be knowledge. That's why we said, whatever knowledge you have learned, don't keep it to yourself. If you keep and hide it, you are considered as khatam. That means you are hiding. You should share the knowledge with your loved one. Yeah? Your children, your grandchildren, your friend. And if they also pick up whatever you have reminded them, you will get the reward. Even after you die and they are doing it, you still get the reward. You teach your children to read Fatiha, each time the children pray and recite Fatiha, you get the reward. And then your children is going to teach his children, and then the children, your grandchildren, when he recite Fatiha, you will also get the reward because it started from you. So if you send your children to recite Quran or you engage an ustaz to come, please, the minimum one you do. If not, then you waste. Until Fatiha we have memorized, we just teach our children. The rest, the whole Quran, maybe somebody will can help them, but you as a mother, a father, you should at least do something for your children. Yeah, I think maybe we have missed that opportunity. Yeah, but now you have grandchildren, so you don't miss that again. Yeah, let your grandchildren come teach them Fatiha, teach them tahiyat, or that they have to recite word prayer, inshallah you will get the continuing reward from Allah. And the third one is waladan salih yad'ulahu, righteous children. If you don't have children, the children who's under your adoption, or those who you're helping, your nephew, your new adopted children, all is considered as children. You will still get the reward from Allah Rabbul Alameen. Dying while doing a good deed, alhamdulillah. Yeah, the Prophet also said, every servant of Allah will be resurrected upon the same thing upon which he died. Allahu Akbar. That's why we always try to make sure that we always do good deeds in our life. And while we are doing it and you die, then the day of judgment, Allah will raise you up, yeah, in the same condition with what you used to do when you was dying. Yeah? You die for that cause. Yeah? Husayfa reported that he braced Allah's messenger to his chest and he told him, Man qala la ilaha illallah ibtigha'a wajhillah kutim lahu biha dakhla jannah. Man sama yawman ibtigha'a wajhillah kutim lahu biha dakhla jannah. Man tasaddaq bi sadaqin ibtigha'a wajhillah kutim lahu biha dakhla jannah. He who say la ilaha illallah and then purely for the sake of Allah, yeah, not because he was forced to, but purely, sincerely for the sake of Allah, and he die with it, then he will go to Jannah. And he who fast even a day for the sake of Allah, purely, yeah, for the sake of Allah, the intention not to show to anybody, then he will die and then he will go to paradise. He who gives charity for the sake of Allah, yeah, he used the word ibtigha'a wajhillah, seeking by that Allah's face, and his deed sealed with it, he will enter Al-Jannah. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. So don't underestimate every good deeds that we are doing, every good deeds that you do purely for the sake of Allah. To Allah, there is a value. Yeah? Even it's a small amount, but to Allah, there's always a value when your intention is clear. Yeah? Once again, to all the brothers and sisters, yeah, we would like to thank all of you who have been helping us to help others. The last hadith that I have to share with you, Anas and Abu Umama Abu Inaba and Amr bin Al-Haq, Al-Hamq radiallahu anhum, all reported that the Prophet, when there is a lot of people talk about the saying of the Prophet, this is what we call hadith mutawatir. They mean group by group by group. Yeah? You have hadith ahad, one person narrated. Then you have group, then they call mutawatir. Yeah? When Allah's will good for a servant of His, He purified him. He purified him. Now, how do Allah purify us? Like what Allah said in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Yeah? Success are those who keep their intention pure for the sake of Allah. And at the end, Allah said, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Destruction are those who corrupted their intention. That means they do a lot of good things, but their intention is not for Allah, is corrupted. So it will end without anything from Allah. But if he do purely for Allah, Allah will purify him. He then, Allah direct him to doing a good deeds before death, so that those around him are pleased with him. He, Allah Rabbul Alamin, take away his life while he is doing it. And when Allah intends something good for all of us, He will direct us to do what is good for us, and then He will make sure that we will die while doing the good deeds. All these are signs that Allah loves us. When Allah is giving us the opportunity to do all the good deeds and we are acting upon it, may Allah make it easy that one day we will end our life while doing all the good things. Ameen. Yeah? So we always have the right. Important thing, number one, is to make sure that we have the intention to do good thing first. When are you able to do it? We do not know, but have the intention. Then every intention must follow up with action, and don't delay your action, yeah, when you have the opportunity. because we do not know what is going to happen to us, inshallah. So inshallah, if there's any question from the sister and the brother about it, then we welcome you for the Q&A session. Tafaddal. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. Yeah, you said taqabbal minna minkum. And you said taqabbal minna. Or you say amin. You say amin. Because the prayer is for them and for us. For two ways. So you just end with amin. Or you can say jami'an wa iyaq. The same to you. The same goes to you. Or jami'an to all of us. Sometimes there are certain things the Prophet did not start to say anything, but companion used to collectively greet each other with good greeting. And then the Prophet never made any comment, so it's a good word. Prayer is always good. Now, even if you have somebody who like to buy this Raya card and so on. Raya card actually have very little value. Last time we used to come up with Ramadan card. It's a reminder. But if there is still going to buy a Raya card, you make some changes there. If they don't have the word taqabbalu minna wa minkum, you just write it. And then you send. At least there is some value. Sometimes when you want to wish somebody, we want them to get close to the Islamic value, so you can change. It's just like if you want to buy a Christmas card to send to your Christian fellows. And you put some ayat from Surah Maryam. It's a form of da'wah. Because you cannot amin what is not right. But you make some changes, and then when they receive, they learn something, and then you encourage them to read the Quran in Surah Maryam about Jesus. It's a good reminder. The Prophet used to send letters to the people of the book. We don't know how to send any letters. We send a Christmas card. You put one beautiful. If you do not know what to do, if you have the intention to do that, you can come to us. We will help you. And then sometimes, oh, how can we do that? You change their word. No. We are telling them what Allah said. It's better than just anybody just say anything they like. And that is something you can do, inshallah. Any other question, inshallah, to the sisters? For those who do not pay their fitra yet, please make sure you do it before the prayer, because if after prayer is a bit late, it's too late. And if you do before the prayer in the morning, it's also, I will consider, a bit late. Why? Because nobody, if you pass it to the collector in the morning, when do you think the collector have time to distribute to the poor and needy? It's too late. So the best thing, if you want to do it before the prayer, then you do by yourself. No more passing to the collector. Do by yourself. You go to the mosque early, you see the poor, and then this, pass it to them. This is my fitrah. That would be the best for you to do, if last minute. Tamam. Any other question from the sisters? Naam, silakan. The imam recite Fatiha. According to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, if the imam recite aloud, and you can hear the recitation of the imam, Allah in the Quran said, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the recitation of Quran is allowed, you hear, so you listen, and you cannot say anything. Be silent. For ansitu, Allah command us to be silent. By listening to the recitation of Imam, you will get Allah's mercy. When you don't hear the recitation of imam, then you must recite. But when you hear it clear, you don't have to recite. Sufficient. The recitation of imam have represent all of us. They are representing our recitation. Qira'atul imam, qira'atakum. Yeah. There somebody still said, no. Fatiha, everybody must recite. They have the general hadith with them, because the Prophet said, La salah liman la fatiha lahu. Mean if a person who don't recite Fatiha, there's no prayer for him. But this hadith is a very general hadith. Do not talk about Jama'ah prayer. Even there's other the hadith talk about Jama'ah prayer, still a very majhul, not ma'ruf. Majhul means not clear. Why? Because it never explained whether the loud prayer or the silent prayer. So when you combine all the hadith about this, then you come to the conclusion. Yes, all the hadith is authentic, is true. The way we apply the hadith is where we get confused. So the right manner, when the imam, when you are praying alone or you're praying in the like the silent prayer, you don't recite Fatiha, your prayer is not valid. But when you are following the imam in the silent prayer, you don't recite, also your prayer is not valid. But when the imam is recite aloud, it's for you to hear. And after Fatiha, he's going to recite other surah also for you to listen. And you are not listening, you are busy with your own thing. You know, so there's no reason for you to recite anything, because he's reciting for you and now he's reciting again for you to observe. So if he make mistake, you correct him. How can you correct? You are busy with your own recitation. So the conclusion of this is, when they combine all the hadith, they say that all the hadith is authentic the way we understand the hadith. We get confused. Yeah. That's why there's one group of Muslims, when they follow the imam, they don't recite anything except Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Sami Allah, Rabbana, they say. Other than that, Fatiha, Surah, they don't recite. Even in a Zuhur prayer, they say, there's a general hadith, the Prophet said, Qira'atul imam, qira'atakum, the recitation of the imam is for you. So you don't have to recite. But then they confuse. This is still general. Whether recitation, when the imam recite aloud or silently, still not clear. So about Fatiha, you have to collect all the hadiths about Fatiha and put it down, and you look at it nicely, then you understand. All is correct. The way we apply it is not that perfect. It's not so right. You got that, inshallah. So like the Eid prayer, we don't have to recite. Naam. Again? Yeah, there's no recitation. Between the takbir, Allahu Akbar, the first one, you'll be recite dua iftitah, yes, for the first rakaat. Then other, the second, the third, you just said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, until the seventh time. Don't have to recite anything. Maybe we are taught before to say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, sometime, but you don't have to do that. Just quiet, no problem. Same. Idul Adha. The only difference Idul Adha is, Idul Adha, the Prophet want you to go and pray as early as possible, then you come home and have breakfast. For Eid Fitri, have breakfast and go. Number one. And the second is, Takbir Idul Adha is for 3 days. From the 10, 11, 12. Until 13, almost near the 3.5 day. Takbir Raya, just one night until prayer gone. Now. Correct. We don't have to, because all this only apply for those who are reciting. With they will do it. Yeah. When you want to recite your Fatiha, then you should start with A'udhu Billah and Bismillah. When you are not reciting, then you just listen. That's why Allah said, Fastami'u lahu. Just listen. No need. Because you are not reciting. When you are reciting, then you say. Like, example, this recitation, like Zohar prayer, everybody have to recite. So that's why you recite your Dua Fita, your Ta'awuzu, and Bismillah, and your own Fatiha. Now, when come to the second rak'at, after raise up, normally what do we recite? Normally, the one that we have been using, we have been doing. Do we say A'udhu Billah again? You should. Yeah, because each time Allah said, when you recite the Quran, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. When you want to recite the word of Allah, seek Allah's protection, refuge, from the shaitan. Now, you have started first raka'an. Then after that, you are not reciting Quran anymore. You are moving. Sami Allahu liman rabbana lakal ham. You go down sujood, you make tasbih sujood, they make dua between the two sujood. Now you have cut yourself from the Quran. Then you're coming up the second raka'an, you are going to start to recite Al-Fatiha again. But you don't have to say A'udhu Billah twice in each raka'an. A'udhu Billah, you start with Fatiha, and if you say Fatiha, after that, immediately you recite Surah, because you started, you continue with the Quran, then you just say Bismillah, and you continue with the Surah. Only A'udhu Billah once for each rak'ah. Some people don't do that, it's true. For A'udhu Billah. Always remember, each time when you want to recite the Quran, Allah command us to start with A'udhu Billah. Seek refuge in Allah. Bismillah, and then correct. Yes. Naam. Waalaikum salam rahmatullah. If you want to read the Quran, you can start from anywhere. Not necessary to start with Al-Fatiha, then continue, no. Yeah, because this is not prayer. Prayer, of course, you must start with Fatiha. But when reciting Quran, if you are coming to the 10 juzuk now, so you start and continue. Yeah, inshallah. Any more question about? Eat everything okay, huh? For the eat, everything okay, alhamdulillah. It's very simple for the eight. Naam. No, the word Karim also is an addition from us. Yeah. You just said, Taqabbalallah minna wa minkum. And then you can say, Jami'an. Jami'an is how we respond for all of us. Or you said, Amin. When somebody is doing a prayer, we respond, say, Amin. It's good. It's just that anybody say, have a safe journey. Amin. But you know that they are also traveling. Jami'an. Amin. Jami'an. Hope the same to you. You are also traveling. I am traveling. We hope that all our traveling, we have a safe one, inshallah. Yeah. Naam. Any question from the brothers? Brother, no question. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Naam, Bada Maknas. Wassalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The imam is doing the third rakat, so you join at the third rakat. Okay. The general opinion said, yes, when you have managed to rukuk with the imam, you can calculate that as one raka'an. Then the argument was that even Imam Shafi'i come up with an argument on this matter to say that must you recite Fatiha only is valid for the raka'an? Yes. Now you become masbuk. As a masbuk, the latecomer, when the imam is bowing, of course you cannot take your sweet time, recite Fatiha and then join. It's too late. You must bow with the imam, but you don't calculate that as a raka'an. You are just following the sunnah of following the imam. Because if you manage to recite your own Fatiha, then okay. Give you one simple example of what is happening in Ramadan, in the Middle East. In Makkah, Haramain, sometimes a lot of people who are there are not everybody who are learned. There are a lot of good Muslims, but they may not learn. They just love to be there to perform the qiyam. Some purposely, when the imam start to stand for their Taraweeh prayer, they just relax, they have some tea and drink, and so until the imam, they know that is going to make rokok, they stand up, Allahu Akbar, and they rokok. Because they say they cannot stand too long, so they just wait until imam on the rokok, they'll come and join, Allahu Akbar, and rokok. No, this is not correct at all. Because you must be with the imam when he was reciting the Fatiha. Now this is also another issue. Said you join the imam in the loud prayer, and when you join the imam now is reciting surah after Fatiha. You got it? The imam is, oh, the imam is Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Then you come in, Allahu Akbar, ihdina sirata mustaqim. Do you consider you get the whole Fatiha? Do you consider you get the whole Fatiha? You are considered as masbuk, a latecomer already. Then what should you do? After that, the imam is going to recite surah, and he's going to recite the surah aloud. What should we do? That is the time to khuruj min al-ikhtilaf, to get up from this gray area, you recite your Fatiha. Why you recite your Fatiha? Because this is rukun. Listening to the recitation of the imam is wajib. The wajib cannot overrule the rukun. To play safe, somebody say, no, as long as you are there, before ruku, you get the whole rukun. And then how come the hadith said no prayer without Fatiha? Where are you going to apply this hadith? The Prophet said, no prayer without Fatiha. Do Fatiha start with Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in? No, it start from the beginning. You say, oh, I got Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim already. Then every time you can just recite Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim, and you can make ruku' or you make other surah, you can't. Fatiha is the whole surah. Yeah. So, normally when people ask me all these questions, I would say, you don't have this kind of issue in the time of the Prophet, because the people are very alert. When they want to pray, the Sahaba is always ready before the imams. Once in a while, you have one or two people who are having some problem, then the Prophet remind them, just do what you can, but you don't count. If you miss Fatiha, you don't count. Then you pay back one more rakat. Yeah? To play safe. So that you are not out from any of the hadith. InshaAllah. Naam. Are you asking about the same question about Fatiha? Another surah. Oh, then other surah is different. Surah other than Fatiha is not a rukun. If you come in, what you were saying just now, when you were asking? Yeah. You mean the surah after Fatiha? Can you recite just any surah and come from any ayah? Yeah, yeah, I know. That means, example, yeah, correct. Yeah, no problem. As long as the ayat that you want to recite is not lesser than Inna a'tayna kal kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani akahul abtar. That is the shortest. That means have three ayat, but short one. If you want to recite just one ayat, the long one, longer than Inna a'tayna kal kawthar fasalli, then no problem. You can start from anywhere. You understand? Maybe is. Give me one example. Just choose one surah first. After Fatiha, you choose what surah? Okay. When you choose surah Inna Atayna, that means you must start from the beginning to the end. Ayat what? 1,000 dinar. Yeah, no problem. Not from the beginning of the surah. Okay. Oh, okay. If I'm not wrong, I'm just, yeah. Just an example. Just an example, there is one ayah. Ayatul Kursi, says the saying. Ayatul Kursi is long enough. From one ayah. It starts with Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhu. Now you may, the person may say, he come in between. That same ayah, he choose to come in between. Yeah. Started wasi'at kursi yu samawati wal ar wa la ya'udu hifdhu mahu. Start with kursi. So, is that correct? That is not correct. If you want to choose one ayah, you choose one ayah. You don't take a long ayah and you cut into half. No. Either you take a shorter ayah. If you don't want to go for the long ayah, you choose a shorter one. Because the Prophet, when he was reciting the Quran, and he's the best example, he don't do that. But for a newcomer, revered example, he only knows Inna a'tayna kal kawthar. He just started to memorize Inna a'tayna kal kawthar. Inna a'tayna kal kawthar. No problem. He recite what he can at that point of time. Yeah. But for those who know this surah and ayah, you don't cut short anymore. That is the shortest for surah Al-Kawthar. Yeah. So that, like I said, Ayatul Kursi is long enough, but you don't come in between. You read the whole ayah. And that is the manner of reciting the Quran. Yeah, inshallah. And the last question. We say what? Oh, okay. Normally, those who recite Quran, they will end with Sadaqallahu al-Azim. That is also not from the Prophet. Because Sadaqallah also is one of the ayat in the Quran. Yeah, it's not an ayat to recite for ending the recitation of the Quran. That's why you will see some people who have the understanding, after reciting the Quran, they don't say Sadaqallahu al-Azim. But the general public who don't understand, after the ending, they will also say Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Now the sister is asking, after you finish reciting Quran, is that a sunnah for you to say Subhanakallahumma bihamdika? Yeah. What do you think, Sister Rohani? Huh? Yeah? You find an hadith who say that anything good you end with Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. son of Sam. So when you have the hadith, you can apply the hadith. Anybody come across a hadith who will say that you should recommend it, if you don't recite, say it's not a sin, but it's recommended to recite that, then you can recite, no problem. The only thing sometimes we have to understand whether the hadith is talking about when you are in a gathering or just by yourself. If you're in a gathering, then highly recommended to end the gathering. Even the gathering of recitation of the Quran, the gathering of a class, a meeting, you end with that. Yeah? But if you are alone, whether you should recite that or not, you have to check closely again. Yeah? But you alone have you to just recite Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Inshallah, may Allah make it easy for all of us. May Allah prepare all of us the last few nights to give us enough energy to get the maximum of this few night, yeah? And the rest, please make intention, whatever good intention you want to do for Allah's sake, you can start to re-strengthen the intention and try your best to make sure that the good intention is going to be performed by us, we are going to do it, not just intention for the sake of intention. So may Allah bless us, accept all our prayer, our qiyam, our siyam, our laylatul qadar, our sadaqah, and increase barakah in our health and also in our wealth. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Okay, good. We have some sister always remind me about Wednesday class. Yeah, it'll be still, there's a spirit of Eid is still very strong. So they said we take an off day, off on this coming Wednesday. Yeah, so because you are going to visit a lot of family members, so pray for them also. Convey the sunnah, the knowledge that you have, share it with your friend, with your loved one, when you travel and meet them. Yeah, it's very important. So that's all for all of us. And your travel, don't forget the dua for traveling. It's very important. Yeah, make sure that our house is been. Yeah, you know, people also, time is bad, and people know that we are traveling a lot, and we do not know how secure is the security we have. But please be more careful, inshallah. Yeah. Last one. Okay. No, when you are sitting and pray, that means you will sit from the beginning to the end. There's no saying that when you want to start the first one, you stand and then the rest you can sit. No. The Prophet never said that. The Prophet say, you pray, even Quran say, Allazina yazkuruna qiyama wa qu'udan. You pray by standing or sitting down. Yeah, maintain from the beginning to the end. Yeah, to create an unnecessary kind of understanding, it's just made life difficult. If you can stand, you stand for all the way. But if you can make, you can stand, probably the only problem you encounter is sujood. Then you can stand, no problem. But now in the plane, they don't allow you to stand. They endanger you. You know, so you don't stand. When the time there, when Allah make it easy for you, don't make it difficult. Don't be too, the Malay word, cerewet. Yeah. Yeah. Then you make life very difficult. Yeah. So don't worry, inshallah. When you can pray while sitting, you do from the beginning to the end while sitting. Yeah. Inshallah. Assalamualaikum. Did I end with subhanakallah already? End already, eh? Alhamdulillah. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Today is 21. Just to secure my abdomen. Yes. Can. Good, no problem.